Then when I could begin to see how many resentments I had, then I could begin to see how they really are controlling my thinking. And if they control it, God can't. Now, this is not hard to do. You don't have to be highly educated to do this. You don't have to be sober very long to do this. If you can't write, you simply feed the names to somebody else and let them write them down. I've never seen an alcoholic yet that does not know just exactly who and what, by God, we're mad at. We spend hours and hours sitting around in bars talking about it. All we got to do is take it out of our head, put it down on a sheet of paper. People and institutions, that's self-explanatory. Principles are those old, old guiding laws that we've heard all of our life that interferes with our way of living. Ten Commandments are a set of principles. Boy, I didn't like them either. When I was out there drinking and doing my thing, don't talk to me about the Ten Commandments, because I was breaking down near every one of them. Another old principle I always hated said, what goes up must come down. I never cared for that one. Another one said, what you give out is what you get back. Another one said, there are no free rides. You will pay for everything you receive. And the one that really infuriated me, my dad used to say, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get fleas on you every time. Those are principles. We just take those things, take them out of our head, list them on a sheet of paper, top to bottom, while our mind is on one thing and one thing only, and then we've completed the first instruction. Bill said, Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, my employer, and my wife. He probably had more. I assume he just didn't want to use any more space in the book. Joe?
And we ask ourselves why we were angry, period. And we go to the second column, the cause. And beside each name, we write down the cause. Now, we all know who and why we're mad at it. And we know what they did or they didn't do that causes us to be angry. And we don't have to have a long dissertation. We just do what Bill did. Bill used four or five or six words to describe the cause. For instance, he's mad at Mr. Brown. Well, what was the cause? Well, his attention to my wife. He told my wife of my mistress. Brown may get my job at the office. I don't know, Brown. I'm already getting mad at him, you see. He's threatening a lot of these basic instincts, you see. Now, he's mad at Mr. Jones. Miss Jones, well, why is she mad? Well, she's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend, and she's a gossip. I don't like her either. He's mad at his employer. He's unreasonable, unjust, and overbearing.
Probably said, Bill, where were you all day Monday, anyhow? Yeah.
He threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. This is very narrow-minded of him, isn't it? He's mad at his wife. Why? Well, she misunderstands and nags, and she likes Brown, and she wants the house put in her name. Now, you start putting that together, that she likes old Brown, and she wants the house put in her name. It start being resentful right away, you know. So all we have to do is, using four or five or six words, is just write down the cause, each one from top to bottom. Just go down the list, very short little words that describe the cause. It don't have to be a long dissertation. Very simply, it doesn't take very long to do.
If you're anything like I am, I think you're going to realize something also when you finish up the second column. For the first time, I begin to see that it's really not people and institutions I'm resenting. It's what they've done to me which got me upset. It's not them, it's what they've done to me. I can take Mr. Brown out of here and put Mr. Green in. And I'll be just as mad at Green if he does the same thing. I take my wife out of here and put my girlfriend in. I'll be just as mad at her if she does the same thing. For the first time, I begin to realize it's not people. It's what they do to me that's got me upset. Very valuable information. I'm getting ready to start out on a lifetime process of developing the best possible relationship I can with the world and everything and everybody in it. And a part of that relationship is going to be a forgiving process. I'm going to ask them to forgive me, but I'm also going to have to forgive them. And part of the forgiving is for me to realize it's really not them anyhow. It's what they do that's got me upset. That starts removing names from the picture almost immediately. And it's going to make it a lot simpler to deal with this in the future. So I've learned two things now. Column one, how resentful I really am. Column two, it's not them I'm resenting, it's what they've done to me that I'm resenting. Two valuable things. Now let's look at the third instruction.
Now in most cases, it was found at our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened, so we were sore, we were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal sex relations, which had been interfered with? So in the third column, we go to the very first example. We realize that these basic instincts and how they were threatened. They were God-given and therefore good. We see how they were threatened, and we take the very first column again, going from top to bottom, and we understand what the word self-esteem means. And if what they did that affect my self-esteem? If it does, I just put a little check mark. If it doesn't, I leave it blank. I go to the next person. If what they did, does that affect my self-esteem? If it does, I leave a little check mark. If it doesn't, I leave it blank. And we go to the next person. If what they did affects my self-esteem, I put a little check mark. If not, I leave it blank. I go from top to bottom, one column at a time. Then I move over to the next, the personal relationships. If what they did is a threat to my personal relationship, I put a little check that mark there. And if we go to the next person, if what they did affects my personal relationship, I put a little check mark there. If it didn't, I will leave it blank. And we go all the way across from top to bottom, one column at a time, going down, putting a little check marks if it affects me. If it didn't, I leave it blank. And the things that you begin to notice after a while is some of these columns, one or two or three of these columns are the ones that are most affected. And we find that maybe it's our self-esteem that's most affected all the way. Or maybe it's our personal relationships that we find that are most affected. This little form, filling these out from top to bottom, begins to show little patterns. All the way down, either columns left to right or all the way across, certain people can affect each and every one of these. They can just wipe you out, you know, such as certain wives who make off with all the money, throw your clothes out in the yard. I've had all that. But you just, one column at a time, from top to bottom, make these little check marks, and things begin to appear on this form that's very, very interesting.
I think if the value in doing these one column at a time, if we begin to see that under self-esteem, nearly every block has got a check in it, we begin to see, hey, self-esteem really is a problem. Maybe most of them are going to be checked under material security. Maybe most of them will be checked under sex. Probably going to be a combination of all three, but at least one of those columns will predominate and stand out and show us the part of self we're really, really having difficulty with. Let's give you an example. I'm going to use two names that I had on my inventory. One of them was the lady that I was married to then and married to today. And I love her very deeply today. But I'll guarantee you 20-some-odd years ago I didn't love her. Man, I was resentful at her. Her name is Barbara, so I put Barbara on there for number one. The second name I had on that list was the Internal Revenue Service. Now, we could go ahead and list the whole 140-some-odd, but we'll just list those two. What was the cause of my resentment against Barbara? She filed for divorce three times the last year before she went to Al-Anon. She was spending more money on divorces and lawyers than I was on booze, and I really had it in for her for that. Why was I upset with the Internal Revenue Service? Well, they were about to put me in jail, that's why. And then I went to the third column. Is Barbara filing for divorce? Is that a threat to my self-esteem? What are people going to think about me now? Is she, you know? Is the Internal Revenue Service trying to put me in jail? Is that a threat to my self-esteem? You bet you it is. Okay, then I go to the next column. Barbara filing for divorce, is that a threat to my personal relationships? You bet you it is. It'll destroy any relationship between she and I and also with my children. Internal Revenue Service filing for divorce, or putting me in jail, is that a threat to my personal relationships? Probably so. If I'm in jail, I can't have any relationship with my wife, children, etc. Then we go to the security column. Barbara filing for divorce, is that a threat to my material security? You bet you it is. She's going to get it all before she's done. Internal Revenue Service putting me in jail, is that a threat? Sure it is. They're going to find me. Plus, I can't make any money while I'm in jail. Barbara filing for divorce, is that a threat to my emotional security? You betcha, I'm upset by this very badly. Internal Revenue Service wanting to put me in jail, is that a threat to you? Betcha it is. Now, not always will all of these be filled out. These particular two, it happened to be that way. Barbara filing for divorce, is that a threat to my acceptable sex life? You betcha. They're not about to let her come in jail where I am and have sex together. Internal Revenue Service filing for or putting me in jail, is that a threat to my... You betcha it is. In both cases, her divorce or the jailhouse is a threat to my acceptable sex life. Barbara filing for divorce, is that a threat to my hidden sex life? Let's just leave that one blank. Now, my ambitions are my plans for the future. Barbara filing for divorce, is that a threat to my ambitions or plans for the future under the social instinct? You betcha it is. Internal Revenue Service putting me in the jail, is that a threat to my ambitions for the future? You betcha it is. So really, in this particular case, they just wiped me out right across the board all the way. I was really upset with them both, infuriated with them. You know, it was so bad with Barbara, I would sit down in a bar with a complete stranger and I'd say, let me tell you what she did to me. And hell, they didn't know her or me, either one, but I loved to tell them about it, see. Now, as we fill out this third column, or as I filled out the third column, I realized what has turned out to be for me the most valuable piece of information I've ever known about me. For the first time, I saw where anger comes from. Now, I've always had a problem with anger. I've always reacted in anger. I've always done and said things I was ashamed of, and I'd swear I'll not do it again, turn around, do it all over again next time I got angry. You see, I never knew where it came from. I thought it was just one of those feelings that flits into your mind. You could do nothing about it to control it or handle it or anything. For the first time, I realized anger comes from a threat to one of my basic instincts of life. And it's how I choose to react to that threat will determine whether I'm angry or not. Thank God I've learned that. Because you see, I can't do anything about other people and what they do. Maybe with God's help, I can do something about my reaction to it, and I don't have to get angry. You know, I just love old Barbara to pieces.